You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Recently, three families, one Muslim, one Roman Catholic, and one Ukrainian Orthodox, filed a joint lawsuit against the Montgomery, Maryland school district. Back in March, the district shifted their policy, announcing that parents would no longer be notified in advance of LGBT content in the classroom, and that parents could not opt their students out of those classes. This is just one example of the deep fault lines that run throughout our culture, that run on ideological grounds, along the lines of worldviews. And these worldviews collide on a personal level, on a family level, on a social level, and on a state level. Here, three couples who diverge wildly on religious matters agree on worldview issues, that certain cultural narratives are undermining their ability to raise their children and imposing a secular worldview on them instead. It's because of this very real collision of worldviews and the consequences of them that the Colson Center seeks to equip Christians to understand the public implications of Christian truth, including how to live out that truth in this difficult cultural moment. So our daily Breakpoint commentaries and What Would You Say videos are timely, but not merely reactive to the headlines, offering a grounded way of thinking about tough issues and hard questions through the lens of Christian truth. The Upstream and Strong Women podcast engage a variety of thoughtful Christian voices who are pointing us both upstream and downstream, both how to think and how to live. Colson Fellows program trains and equips leaders in every sphere of culture, every walk of life, to live redemptively wherever they've been placed by God. The Colson Educators Collective equips teachers to teach from a Christian worldview. And the Colson Center National Conference is an annual time of learning and formation, not to mention quite a family reunion for us. Recently, Breakpoint listener Lexi, who just graduated from high school, wrote to tell us how the Colson Center was helping her live out her faith. Quote, "My junior and senior years of high school, I began to discover a love for worldview study that I had not known. The Colson Center and the concepts you discuss have played such a huge part in my life. It shaped my understanding of the world I live in and consequently who I've become, where I'm going to college, my desire both primarily to be a mother and secondarily to pursue law. In short, the Colson Center has been very instrumental in my life." Another Breakpoint listener, a mom, shared how God has used Colson Center resources to bolster her faith and love her family through the upheaval of the last few years. Quote, "Both of my kids graduated in 2020, one from high school, the other from college. Navigating these major life transitions during a pandemic was challenging for them, to say the least. With COVID, also brought confusing messages from our families, Christian friends, health and political authorities, even our beloved church. George Floyd, a course in ethnic studies, had our daughter buying into critical race theory and deconstructing her faith. Well, enter the Colson Center. Your articles and programs grabbed a hold of me and helped me, a Christian of over 30 years, keep my eyes on Jesus during this very confusing time. They help me speak truth and love to my kids, friends, family, and church." End quote. Well, that's what the Colson Center exists to do, to equip Christians to live out their faith with clarity, confidence, and courage in this cultural moment. And if Colson Center products and programs have helped you as a parent, a grandparent, as a young person, student, citizen, employee, leader, or neighbor, would you help us help others by prayerfully partnering with us here at the end of our fiscal year end? Any gift given before Friday, June the 30th, will help us continue equipping Christians to live as agents of restoration in this time and place. To give, please go to ColsonCenter.org/FYE23. That's ColsonCenter.org/FYE23. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Michaela Estruth. For more resources to live like a Christian in this cultural moment, go to Breakpoint.org.
Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Now we got a problem. Here we are, breath has left this body, shazam, we have a supernatural body, the like of which is the resurrected body of Jesus Christ, and we see there's identity, there's recognition, et cetera, et cetera, an exposition, an explosion of our gifts, and now, where are we going to live? Man, I've got this supernatural body. Where will that body live throughout all eternity? This is the wonderful thing. It will live in a new heaven and a new earth.
The truth is, you can kiss your aches and pains goodbye. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young shares the conclusion to his message called A Super Body and shares how God will one day give you a resurrected body that's everything He's always wanted for you. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. Before we get to today's message, we have a special booklet we want to send you to give you a glimpse into what awaits you in heaven. It's called Heaven, A Place Prepared for You, and it will help you live faithfully today in light of eternity to come. We'll send you the Heaven booklet as our thanks for your gift to keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. And thank you for helping reach more people in 2023 with the proven truth of God's Word. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, A Super Body, Part 2.
But there's a great variety in heaven, and all of us will come to the maximum fullness where our appearance will be obvious to God and obvious to others. In fact, there will be a glow to you and me in heaven that is hard to explain, and we can't even articulate it in this life. Then somebody asks, well, I have five senses in heaven? And the answer is, yes, we'll have all five senses, but we'll have more senses than just five. And the five senses we have, what about the sense of hearing? My goodness, we hear something beautiful like the soloists and the choir today. Just think if our hearing was just maximize what we'd hear. We'd hear the chorus of angels. We would hear beyond our capacity. It would go on and on. Imagine to see. We see something beautiful. Imagine the sense of sight is intensified in density and in scope and understanding and in beauty. Imagine to smell. We could smell wonderful fragrances that we never smelled before. To taste. You think pecan pie and ice cream is good in heaven, our taste will just explode. You see, we take everything here is just a beginning, a sample of what we're going to realize in fullness to heaven. And we'll have more than five senses. Everybody here has more than five senses right now. We don't realize it. We have a sense of balance to various degrees. All of us do. You don't think about that. We have a sense of presence around us, even though we do not see a sense of presence. We have an understanding of where our arms and our bodies are without even thinking about it. We have a sense of time. We don't put that in the equation. We have a sense of pain. And imagine there are 100 or 200 more senses that we'll have in heaven as we're exploded in the reality in our resurrected body. Just imagine that. You say, well, explain some of those. How would you explain to somebody who's never heard what it means to hear? Try that. They've never heard anything. You try to explain to him, you know that, you try to explain to somebody who's never seen what it means to see. We see these studies with Helen Keller and other personalities. It's hard. How can we understand today the other senses we'll have available to us in our supernatural resurrected bodies? So the prototype is Jesus. We think, and there we are. We move. We're supernatural bodies. That's what we have to picture in heaven. We'll say, well, where do you get all of this stuff? Listen. Look in 1 Corinthians 15, just a few verses. It says it clearly. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body, supernatural body. If there is a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. The first man is from earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. As the earthy so also are those who are earthy, that's us, and as in heavenly, so also those who are heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of earthy, we'll also bear the image of heavenly. We have our earth bodies, we have our supernatural heavenly bodies. Those who are in Christ, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Now, let me say this in a memorable way. Does anybody in here think 1939 and the name Billy Batson? Does anybody know how that name came into a degree of prominence in 1939? Don't guess. Somebody said Billy the Kid. No. Does anybody know Billy Batson? Does that name mean anything? A sense of prominence? I'm going to give away a Honda if you can come up with this. Anybody? Billy Batson, 1939. Who said Captain Marvel? Get your Honda. Keith will give it to you after the service. It's one he's been driving for about 10 years now, I think. How in the world? I've asked that to about 10,000 people today. How did you know that? You have what? You have 4,000 comic books. He's very rich. Not really. Is that great? Captain Marvel. And he was a contemporary of Superman. Absolutely. Captain Marvel could have beat up Superman, by the way. He really could. Captain Marvel had all these, all he had to say was, Billy Batson said, Shazam! You thought that was only Gomer Pyle, didn't you? That's Shazam! And all of a sudden, he's Captain Marvel. And he has wisdom, he has speed, he can fly, he's got supernatural speed. Let me say very reverently to you, very reverently, in another realm, exactly when we're in Christ and breath leaves our body and we receive a supernatural body with power, eternity with existence, it's almost like Shazam, Shazam. Bible teaches. Now we got a problem. Here we are, breath has left this body, Shazam, we have a supernatural body, the like of which is the resurrected body of Jesus Christ, and we see there's identity, there's recognition, et cetera, an exposition, an explosion of our gifts. And now, where are we going to live? Man, I've got this supernatural body. Where will that body live throughout all eternity? This is the wonderful thing. It will live in a new heaven and a new earth. It'll live right here in this domain, except the earth will go back to a pristine kind of existence. Now, let's get some absolutes built down, some biblical absolutes that you need to know. Look on your screen. Look at them. God made Adam and Eve to be spiritual and physical. And they were not human until they were both. Record that. God often took on human form in the Old Testament times. He was likely in human form as he walked in Eden. God took on a human body, becoming a man in Christ, not just temporarily, but forever. Listen to that. God took on a human form in Jesus Christ, second person of the Trinity. He became a human, a man, not just temporarily, but get this, forever. Remember he said he'll be with us in Christ? Isn't that something? God raised Christ in a human body with physical properties, a body that walked, talked, ate, could be touched. He explicitly stated he wasn't a ghost. God made mankind in his image. because humans are physical beings, though God is spirit, there must be something about our human bodies that reflects God's identity. Certainly, there's nothing about our bodies that repulses God, who created humanity as a crowning achievement. God's Holy Spirit indwells human bodies and calls them his holy temples. God will raise people with eternal, listen to this, physical, spiritual bodies that come down to inhabit the new earth with them. Look, heaven is not out there in another cosmos, another galaxy, or up there, or over there. Heaven will be here, a new heaven and a new earth. Now, we're not going to deal with, don't ask me after the service, the little interim period that some talk about between death and eternity and our supernatural bodies and a supernatural new heaven and new earth, because that will come when Jesus comes and brings down the curtain of history. And some would talk about purgatory. But we're going to wait for that sequencing. Okay, would you do that? We're going to go back and talk about the timeless domain that I believe when Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. You'll be with me in heaven. So we have a supernatural body. That body will live in this supernatural earth. But in the meantime, on this earth, there's a lot of groaning going on. Did you know this earth groans? It really does. Do you know there's groaning in you and me? What is that groaning? The earth and human beings, humanity, fell in the Garden of Eden. That is the great sin. That is in chapter 3. All of a sudden, Adam and Eve, who had open hands and bent knees before God, now they close their hands and they straighten out their knees because they said, I want to be a God. I want to run my own life. That is the ultimate basic sin that all of us are caught up in, and that's the basic sin of Adam and Eve. Closed hands, unbent knee. I'm going to make my choices of what I eat, where I go, how I live, and determine the destiny of my life. That is a fallenness. And when man fell, closed his hands, unbent knees, the whole creation fell. We live in a world that is under the curse of God, and we live in a human life under the curse of God. And we see what happens to this curse. How is it removed? And that comes to what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And you see evidence of the removal of that curse, where? In the scars of Jesus. Here you have the apostles, and they look at Jesus. They thought they were on a presidential campaign, and Jesus was going to be elected president. But once he was captured and once they saw those nails nailed in his hand, they said, look, it's not going to happen. But little did they know, those nails that left the scars did not mean the end, but it meant the beginning of their eternal salvation. Their eternal salvation. And so here we go, the groaning. I want you to read, not in the New American Standard, the King James, I want you to read Peterson's translation of this passage in Romans chapter 8. Tremendous. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's an adventurously expectant greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we are, who we really are. We know who He is. We know what we are, father and children, and we know we're going to get what's coming to us. Listen, an unbelievable inheritance. Look at the rest of it. And that's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. The created world itself can hardly wait for what's coming next. That's the groaning. Everything in creation is being more or less held back. God reigns it in until both creation and all the creatures are ready and can be released at the same moment into the glorious times ahead. Meantime, the joyful anticipation deepens. the anticipation of the supernatural body in a supernatural world. In the meantime, did you know the earth is groaning? Listen to this recorded groan from different places on the earth. These are unexplained groans in the United Kingdom. That's the earth groaning. In Texas, similar sound. The scientists, they're not sure what this is. Tectonic plates rubbing, there's no explanation. Singapore, these are different times. This is heard mysteriously. Canada. What is that? Is it the earth groaning, wanting to go back to its pristine eternal existence? That is what will happen when Jesus comes, the new heaven and the new earth, and where we'll live in our supernatural bodies in this supernatural world. Let me tell you again about heaven. Everybody will become everything that God built into you and built into me to become. We'll be able to accomplish in heaven everything that we did not accomplish on this earth. And so many things we didn't have time to accomplish, we didn't have opportunity to accomplish, and because of things that happened in our background, we were unable to accomplish them. Understand this. Only those things that have died in you and in me will ever be resurrected. Only there has to be a death before there can be resurrection. What does that mean? My mother, God-fearing woman, stern, tough, disciplinarian, trouble-loving openly and genuinely, even myself as her son. In the process, I have looked back in my study at home. I have a picture of my mom there. And I look at her and I say, Mom, boy, now in heaven, boy, you have kill those things that limited you loving, limited you in this life. See, my mother was a very manipulative person. You say, well, how in the world, why was she like that? Because she was she had four sisters and four older sisters. She was the baby when my grandfather died early in a little farm. My grandmother took those four daughters, moved to Laurel, Mississippi, and those five daughters, and four of them could go to work doing all kinds of things. My grandmother sewed. They lived very, very, very modestly. My mother went to school. So as the youngest child, she had to manipulate her older sisters to get clothes, to get means so she would have things. And so she got in the business of manipulation early in her life, and she carried that all the way through. So there was that lack of genuineness. And I looked at my mother's picture and I said, Mom, in heaven now, isn't it grateful that manipulation has died? Isn't it grateful now in heaven you can love freely? Isn't it grateful in heaven you won't be limited with poverty and things that you did not have and things you could not do? Now you'll be able to spread your wings. You look at those who've gone ahead of you, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, friends, and you say, boy, what they could have been, what they should have been, what might have happened. In heaven, we will become and achieve all these things because all of that which limited us will be dead and it will be resurrected again along with our bodies as we live in a resurrected body in a resurrected world. That is heaven. Boy, if we could see all those who graduated before us. So will there be any children in heaven? Absolutely. What would heaven be without kids? What about the little baby that never really saw life? Wouldn't it be thrilling to see that baby grow up in a perfect earth, in a super environment? Boy, that would be something to behold, wouldn't it? So I'm saying God in his equalizing, but God in his infinite wisdom will see that heaven is all and more than anything we could ever dream. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither enter the heart of man what God has prepared for those who end up in love with him. You see, heaven is
real.
It absolutely is real. And thinking about this, I thought about Sammy Davis Jr. If you missed the gifted man that he was, and he did a little thing that I think is so great. It was in some kind of Broadway musical, and he sang, "If They Could Only See Me Now." Most of you wouldn't have heard of that. If they could, and he's singing that, I'm sure thinking about, boy, if his friends, his family could see what if. And I thought about it. I said, you know, if we could look all the way into heaven and see those who've gone before us, and I imagine they would say, boy, if they could only see me now with this resurrected body in this resurrected world, what they would see. Who invented laughter? Who invented love? Who invented fun? Who invented friendship? Who invented celebration? Who invented dancing and shouting and praising? And who put all, somebody has the idea that when you talk about heaven, the pastor has to have a stained glass voice. I'll tell you, brethren, we've got to talk about heaven. Man, heaven we know as we have been known. Heaven will be a time of celebration. And I'm sure those who are in Christ who've gone ahead of us, they said, oh, if they could see me now. C.S. Lewis preached a great sermon on heaven. He called it The Weight of Glory. And in this sermon, he said, if we'd see just ordinary folks in heaven today, they'd have such a weight of glory and a glow on them and a radiance on them, we would bow down and worship. We'd bow down and worship. Those unbent knees, just bend them. And all of a sudden in your life now and forever, there will be that Shazam. Say it with me.
Shazam.
Shazam. Oh, if we could see ourselves then, what a day, what a moment, what a celebration. It is heaven.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you in your walk with Jesus Christ, and we'd love to encourage you further with Dr. Young's booklet, Heaven, A Place Prepared for You. This powerful resource takes you through Revelation 21 and delivers a clear description of what you can expect when you arrive in heaven someday. So call now to request Heaven, A Place Prepared for You, as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Listen in tomorrow as Dr. Young shares from the Bible what heaven will look like.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org.
You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM,
the
Christian
you go
voice
to
of Brevard.
Because this is supposed to be telling you information from the homeland, not information from the culture.
Dr. Tony Evans says we're living in a day of disconnected believers, spiritual orphans who grab onto trendy yet untruthful views.
The most important thing a believer needs is to be part of a church that Jesus has built in order to advance the kingdom of God.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. The power to go on when times get tough comes from God, but Dr. Evans says God often sends it to us by way of the believers around us. Let's join him as he begins.
I want to talk to you today about God's love, which is His church. I want to start off with a very strong statement. Any Christian who's abandoned the church has abandoned God. Any Christian who abandons the church has just kicked God to the curb. Any Christian who says, I don't need to gather with the family of God, sure, in a wise way, in a safe way, has told God, when you died on the cross for your church, it ain't all that and a bag of chips. Ecclesiology, my first love, is the doctrine of the church. The church is God's centerpiece in history. So passionate is God about the church that in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 and 17, he says, I will destroy anybody who messes with it, because it is the place of God's dwelling. But the problem is, and the reason why people can diminish it, downgrade it, and not respond appropriately to it is that they really don't understand. They have limited to a place I go once a week to worship. Now, it is that, but it is so much more. God has a program in history. That program in history, if you have been around us for a while, is His kingdom. His kingdom is His rule. God's rule is expressed through the word kingdom. It is the central theme of the Bible, and it is God's purpose in history. God's purpose in history is His rule. When He established history, He placed man in the center of it, because it would be through man that that historical goal will be reached, which is the manifestation of His rule on a worldwide basis under the authority of Jesus Christ. Throughout biblical history, over 1,500 years, 66 books written by 40 different authors, there are a number of administrations. That is, mechanisms that God used in order to unveil His kingdom program. His first mechanism was Adam. Adam was to unveil the program of God that was to be worldwide, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, and he was God's administrative agent. But because of sin, there was a change in administration. There was a new dispensation, there was a new organization, there was a new representation in order to advance the one purpose, which is God's kingdom advancement, His rule in history. Without going through all of them, the next major one would be Abraham to establish the nation Israel. That's why when Jesus came to the Jewish nation, He says the kingdom of God is at hand. And if they would have embraced the kingdom would have come then. But instead, they rejected the king, and that postponed their administration. Because acceptance of God's rule is necessary for the administrative program to work. But because he was rejected, that administration did not bring in the kingdom. So God chose another administration, a new representative group. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give my church the keys to the kingdom. So that whatever it binds on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever it loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I will build my church. The Greek word for the word church is the word ekklesia. Now, when you hear the word church, again, you think of the building you come to for worship. You are coming to church. We know what we mean by that. We come for worship. We come for fellowship. We come for biblical instruction. We come for ministry opportunities. All of those are ingredients. But beneath that is a deeper concept. That when you say you are part of the church and part of a specific church, there is a deeper understanding that needs to be brought into the equation if you're going to understand the word church to know whether you even belong to a church. And he says in Matthew 18, I will build my church upon this rock. But the only meaning of the church that the people knew was a legislative body. America has embassies all around the world. An American embassy in any noted country is a little bit of America a long way from home. Wherever you find an American embassy, you will find the laws of America operative. Because an embassy is operating with the laws of the homeland, not the laws of the foreign land in which it is located. It is a legally binding entity. All embassies are sovereign territory. They do not belong to the country they are in, they belong to the country they're from. That's why if you get in trouble and you're overseas, you want to get through that embassy gate. Because if you get through that embassy gate, you're in America now, even though you're on foreign soil, because that is America on foreign soil. So when Jesus says, I will build my church, he wasn't just saying, I'm going to build a place for you to go for an hour or two on Sunday morning to sing, to pray, to praise, to preach. I want to build a legislative body that can grab heaven and draw it down to earth. I want to grab a body that where the laws of heaven rule, not the laws of the country in which they are located, called worldliness. So what God is after when he said church is he's building an entity in history that can grab eternity and suck it into time. So to become a member of a church is to become part of God's legislative body. To become part of God's drawdown into history. A church is a community of the redeemed whose task it is to represent the kingdom of God in the affairs of mankind. He says, I will build my church on a rock. The Greek word for rock in Matthew 16, 18 is the word Petra. Petra was used of a collection of stones that had been knitted together to form a rocky ledge or a rocky cliff. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, ye are all living stones, come together to form one spiritual house. So what the church is God's house in order to be the mechanism through which heaven would be visited in history. So when you say you're going to church, it ought to be saying I'm going to the city council meeting. I'm going to the school board meeting. I'm going to the heaven meeting. So we can see what's on the heavens docket today. Because I'm going to the place where heaven rules, where the embassy of God is located.
Dr. Evans will have more for us on the church when he continues our message in just a moment. First, though, I wanted to encourage you to take advantage of our special offer that includes your personal copy of Tony's brand new teaching series, The Return. In it, Dr. Evans takes a look at the mechanisms God's given us to plug into his network of believers who are finding ways to serve and improve the lives of those around them. Christians are called to be salt and light to the world, to preserve goodness, and to point the way to God's life-changing truth. The Return can help you find ways to be an effective believer, actively living out a life of purpose and fulfillment for the Lord. All 13 full-length messages from this two-volume series can be yours as our gift when you make a contribution to help support Tony's ministry here on the radio and around the world. Along with the audio collection, we'll also include his popular booklet, The Grace of God, which will help you understand the Lord's greatest gift and why we literally can't live without it. Visit us today at tonyevans.org or give us a phone call day or night at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that information for you after part two of today's lesson and this.
Does the rising price of eggs make you want to crack? At the Tony Evans Training Center, we hear you. That's why we're lowering our subscription fee. Christopher, a TETC user, says, "This is an answer to prayer. This ministry has made a vital impact on my walk. It may not sound like a lot, but with a large family, every dollar counts. We want to bless your journey. Visit TonyEvansTraining.org to subscribe today and explore the kingdom of God."
Another name for the word church in the Bible is temple. The end of Ephesians 2, talking about the church, he says, "And you are the temple of the Holy Spirit." So he uses an Old Testament word to explain a New Testament church. So let me tell you about the temple. The temple was situated in the midst of Israel. It started off as the tabernacle. It became the temple. And it sat in the midst of the 12 tribes. The 12 tribes, the nation, all centered around the temple. And God's glory inhabited the temple. God's presence was right in the middle of his people. So when the people wanted to know how to run their lives, how to run their community, how to run their families, how to run their lives, they would get information from the temple. And the temple, which was where God was, would ferret out the information, God's law, to the people through the priest, so that they would know how to tell the people how heaven wanted them to run their lives. And he told them, don't listen to how the nation tells you to run your life. Don't listen to how the culture tells you to run your life. Listen to what the temple has to say. This is why Paul tells Timothy of the church in 1 Timothy chapter 3, these words, referring to the church with this temple concept. He says in 1 Peter 3, verse 14, "I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long, but in case I'm delayed, I'm writing so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth." He says, the reason you go to church is to get the truth. You don't go to church to find out what the media says, what the politicians have to say, what your posse has to say, what your daddy had to say, what your mama had to say. You only come to the temple for one reason. What did God say on the subject? It is the ground and pillar of the truth. If every place else is lying, the one place you should get the truth is the church. Because it's supposed to be telling you information from the homeland, not information from the culture. Only the church of Jesus Christ has been given the keys to the kingdom. Let me say that again. Only the church of Jesus Christ, in its many locations and manifestations, has been given authorization to the kingdom. Politicians don't have the keys. See, if we spent more time on the kingdom and the church and less time on Democrats and Republicans, we'd be a lot further. Because politicians don't have the keys. Social activists don't have the keys. They don't have the keys. They got some information here and some information there. They don't have no key. Only the church has been given the keys to the kingdom. Authorization to enter the rule of God and draw it down to earth. So the most important thing a believer needs is to be part of a church that Jesus has built, based on the truth, the ground and pillar of the truth, in order to advance the kingdom of God. Today we're living in a day of spiritual orphans, people who are disconnected, and others who are part of a spiritual foster care. They just bounce around from place to place, never settling in on God's covenanted community. Let me show you how serious and how central the church is. Jesus says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, "And he, God, put all things in subjection under his," Jesus' "feet, and gave him," Jesus, "as head over all things." So Jesus is running the show from up there. But notice the last words, "gave him as head of all things to the church." He's over all things, but the all things that he's over don't know he's over them. Because even though he's over all things, he's only been given the one thing. And the one thing he's been given to is the church. And what is the church's job? Verse 23, "which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." In other words, Jesus is over all things, but the all things don't know Jesus is over them, because Jesus has only been given to the one thing, not the all things that he's over. So even though he's over all things, he's only been given the one thing. But the one thing he's been given to is a body. The job of a body is to fulfill the dictates of the brain. So whatever the brain says, the body does. So the way the all things know that Jesus is over them is that the body is taking Jesus everywhere to notify them that Jesus is in charge up in here, up in here. Jesus is over all things, but he wants to let the world know it through the church, because that is his administrative kingdom mechanism. God's not going to skip the church house to fix the White House. It is only when his church is a kingdom gathering water hole for the rule of God that the presence, power of God is going to be made manifest in culture. Here's why every able-bodied Christian is to be a functional member of a legitimate local church. He says in verse 23 of Hebrews 10, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some." Oh, so some had developed this habit of not assembling together. They had said, "I'm staying in bed, okay? Because it's too tough out there, okay? As is the habit of some." Not that they did it sometime, it had become their habit. "But encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." He says, do not forsake encouraging one another, but don't use encouraging one another as a reason to stay home. Talking about, I can pick up my phone and call somebody to encourage me. He says, not forsaking your own assembling as you see the day approaching. Now, the reason he has to tell them this is because the saints in Hebrews were going through a hard time. And he says, if life is getting harder, you need the church more, not less. He says, the reason that you have the church is because God wants you to be an encourager to somebody else who's in my family, and he wants somebody in the family to be an encourager to you. The idea is to develop kingdom people who represent the kingdom of God through the church. In every football game, there's 17 minutes of contact. 17 minutes where people are actually hitting somebody. That's it, just 17 minutes. Approximately 17 minutes. But it's a one-hour game. Every football game is a one-hour game. But there's only 17 minutes of actual contact. That 1 hour game is part of a 3 hour experience. Because you're sitting for 3 hours to watch 1 hour so you can see 17 minutes. It's going to take you 2 hours to get to the game, park, walk, and get into the service. It's going to take you 2 hours to sit 3 hours to watch 1 hour so you can see 17 minutes. When you leave, it's going to take you another couple of hours or so to walk out, get to your car, work through all of the things in order to get back home. So that's 7 hours where you sit 3 hours so you can watch 1 hour so you can see 17 minutes. You're going to pay your tithes to get in and not complain about the cost of the ticket because you decided it's worthy of your investment. And then when you get home, you're going to turn on SportsCenter, NFL Network, and review the sermon that you just said 3 hours to watch 1 hour to see 17 minutes. Then tomorrow at work, you're going to be talking to your people about what happened on Sunday and anticipate what's coming up in next week's service at the football game. But help me out. What has your team done for you lately? If you can give all of that to folk who ain't going to take you nowhere, if you can give all of that for folk who sometimes up and sometimes down, how much should you give to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? How much should you give to the one who died on the cross in your place for your sins? How much should you give for the one who blesses you, cares for you, wakes you up in the morning, sends you on your way, meets your need, gives you a job, food on your table, clothes on your back, roof over your head? Don't tell me it's too long to drive, it's too far to walk, it's raining outside, it's cold outside. If you didn't have him, there'd be nothing outside. So you ought to give him the glory, do his name as part of his church.
Dr. Tony Evans, reminding us of the importance of Christian fellowship and the love and power the Lord offers when we gather in his name. Today's message was called Returning to God Through the Church, and it's available as a part of Tony's 2-volume, 13-lesson series, The Return. Remember, if you contact us within the next few days and make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station, we'll send you the Return audio collection on CD or digital download, along with his booklet, The Grace of God, all as our way of saying thanks. The details are all online at tonyevans.org. Or give us a call at 1-800-800-3222. Our resource center never closes, so there's no need to wait. That's 1-800-800-3222. When we became Christians, Jesus saved us from hell. But that doesn't mean we won't find ourselves standing before the judgment seat of Christ. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans will take a look at how God will evaluate the things we do that have eternal significance. Be sure to join us for that. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.
You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM, 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.